Thank you very much for the invitation and for being able to speak here. So in the discussion that preceded this panel, when we met amongst us and discussed what we're going to talk about, we thought that the notion of the transcultural could contribute to the conference themes. We thought what this notion of the transcultural could contribute to the conference theme. So as highlighted by Benjamin, the question is not whether or not the transcultural ready-made exists, but rather what the possibility of a transcultural ready-made might help us to think through. In view and challenging the idea of culture as in fixed, stable, unchanging entities, for us going beyond, thus trans, the cultural, meant above all to think of the ready-made as the result of a process of appropriation and reappropriation, of contextualization, decontextualization, and recontextualization. In our discussion, we like to think of this process of elevating and valuing an object of art, of mass production, a serial anonymous product, to an object as art, as a gesture of appropriation, what we already discussed yesterday as well. So this really, this gesture of appropriation was for us in the center of the discussion. I'm an anthropologist working about ethnological collections in museums. So-called ethnological collections include objects that have lived through and often suffered the possibly most violent forms of appropriation, both on symbolic and material dimensions. In my contribution, I will thus examine the potential to think ethnological objects as transcultural readymades, not by working through the question systematically, but by taking one particular object biography as an example to establish questions rather than answers. This pair of figures is currently part of the Ethnological Museum Berlin. The figurines originate from the Kom Kingdom in Cameroon's northern grasslands, a former German colony located in West Africa. They were part of the most important royal possessions. Considering this object as transcultural ready-made, questions about authenticity, authorship, and value creation come up. What makes an object replaceable, but also singular and unique, and whose point of view is taken into account? Which role do curatorial and artistic gestures or particular technologies of display take? Which position does power and interpretational sovereignty play within those mechanisms? Kader Atya has himself worked consistently with ethnological collections, especially in link with what he frames as repairs, we could have seen in his presentation, who just preceded this panel, my presentation. In reference to this specific work, Clementine Delis has described ethnological objects as amputees, as specimens of histories that have been dismembered. The amputee is a metaphor that will guide me through this talk. It includes at least three different layers that help me to think through how this pair of figures might resemble or differ from the concept of a ready-made. First, amputees are understood as mutilated, as deformed, as disabled. An amputee is missing parts of his or her body. Limbs have been taken away voluntarily or with force. Mutilation doesn't only apply metaphorically or epistemologically here, but the objects literally have been transformed, have been taken apart, altered, and adapted to fit contemporary Western taste regimes. Second, the metaphor refers to a body, to a living being that is being transformed. However, an amputee as body also has an agency to act and have effects on its surroundings. Third, the fact that something has been taken away offers possibilities to add something to the subsequent gap. Amputees open up the potential to replace, to re-evaluate, or as Atya has called it, to repair. Those three characteristics of the amputee, as mutilators, as agentive, but also as potential, will guide me will guide me through my contribution and the narrative of the object biography. So despite fierce resistance, so you can see the figures that I just shown that are in the collection on the left-hand and on the right-hand side. So despite fierce resistance from the kingdom, the German colonial officer Hans Caspar zu Puttlist led his troops into the capital city of Qom in 1905 and looted the palace. The pair of figures was left behind when King Yu fled. On the image, the logic of colonial collecting to seize, possess, and control societies through material culture is clearly visible. This is accentuated by the pejorative nomination of geschnitzte Fetischbilder, so carved fetish figures. Carved fetish images, sorry. The pair has been most probably made by King Yu himself, who you can see on the picture. However, the pair entered the collection without the indication of an author, such as the overwhelming majority of objects detained in ethnological museums today remain anonymous and undocumented. Once arrived in Berlin, the figurines were transformed into museum objects and integrated in the contemporary logic of typological series, with the aim to represent entire cultures through the collected material culture. First exhibited in the 1920s, the pair was contextualized in this logic in Berlin, in Berlin's permanent exhibition. The object here stands in for a culture. It is representative instead of particular and is thus mutilated from its particularity. In contrast to this exhibition, stands the exhibition in New York's MoMA dating from 1935. The elevation to an art object functions here with similar display mechanisms as with the ready-made. An object is singled out from an alleged series of exchangeable objects. So the displays of the pair have transformed with time, as you can see here on this kind of, you can see different exhibitions that have been taking place in European and American museums. However, in contrast to those shifting contextualizations, most notably between the categories of art or culture, those interpretations have been trapped and contained in a narrative that has been dominated by the logos of ethnos. The objects have been mutilated from their particularity, from their plurality. This reductive classification to an ethnic group mirrors what Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie has framed as the danger of the single story. A talk in which she pointed out the problematic underpinnings of simplification, generalization, and repetition. The danger of the dynamic of a single story is the intrinsic hierarchical relationships in which these stories are told. And I quote here, "Power is the ability not just to tell the story of another person, but to make it the definite story of that person. Museums also detain that authoritative power to tell single stories. However, the objects and the people who identify in some way or the other seem to resist against those contained narratives. As we have witnessed in the last two decades internationally, but also very locally here in Berlin with the construction of the Humboldt Forum, this narrative is progressively being dismantled. Could we think of this process as a challenge to the ethnological object as fixed, as contained, as ready-made? This is where the amputee's potential as body, as agent emerges. The sheer number of amputated objects, millions of them, stored in European storages, has set free an agency, an urgency for contestation. Places like the Humboldt Forum have transformed into sites of debate in which the collection, the amputees, play the main role." So these are two posters from the No Humboldt 21 group that has published these signs in 2014. So to wind up the object's biography for the time being, the future Humboldt Forum will include those pairs as part of an exhibition about German-Cameroonian colonial relations around 1900. The objects are conceived in the future permanent exhibition. They are conceived differently and used rather as historical documents than as representatives of an imagined culture. The collections are used as potentially vital archives, sources for the negotiation of entangled translocal histories. The amputees thus open up places for new forms of reappropriation to replace those missing limbs. To conclude here with more questions rather than answers, I want to read a quote by Dr. Matthias Alubafi, an art historian specialized in the arts of Cameroon, that my co-curator Verena Rodatis and I asked if he could comment on the object on the absence of those objects in COM in the framework of an exhibition that we curated in 2015 in the Humboldt Lab Dahlem, so in the Ethnological Museum. So I'm going to read his quote. The disappearance of the COM pair of figures attached to stools from the COM kingdom in 1905 caused distress, but the figures were replaced by King Yu and members of his workshop. The replacements, which are referred to derogatorily as copies, are now used for traditional religious rituals in the COM kingdom, ensuring continuity of the COM tradition. Ironically, these so-called copies are not recognized by Western museums, since they believe the original and, by extension, authentic COM figures, such as those that are at the Berlin Ethnological Museum, are with them. Similarly, so-called original COM pieces scattered in Western museums are also not recognized as authentic by local communities because they are not in their original setting and were not meant to be displayed in foreign museums. Accordingly, the scramble for the return of COM figures from the West seems to rest on the legality or the means through which German colonial officer Hans Kaspar zu Putlitz acquired them, rather than in their authenticity or usefulness in the local context. Authentic COM figures, as understood in COM, are in COM rather than in the West. So reflecting on Alubafi's quote, in relation to the transcultural ready-made, I asked myself whether or not the pair had been a good or a bad example. In contrast to the majority of objects in ethnological museums, the pair that I had picked out had carried a very specific status in the kingdom as part of the royal possessions. Through the colonial appropriation, the pair was objectified as museum object and understood as part of a series. However, the pair was quite quickly singled out and perpetuated as an object that became part of the Western canon of African art. Alubafi contrasted this view and raised questions about the object's singularity, its place and role within COM and Western societies, turning the museum's logic on its head. Without concluding on the question of good or bad example, I suggest to come back to the ready-made as radical gesture that responds to particular needs within a given society. 100 years ago, when Duchamp challenged the art world's functioning with the ready-made, the functioning of the art market, practices of canonizing, elitist structures within the art world, questions of authorship and ownership. And coming back to my example, the current appropriation of ethnological objects could serve as a means to respond to the urgency of revealing and negotiating so far silenced histories and hierarchies, as well as their reverberance on contemporary society. Adopting the perspective of the transcultural ready-made, how this process can lead to repair and possibly to a healing of the amputated wound depends on who is allowed to speak, if and how the collections are made accessible to those so far excluded, and if cultural institutions as governmental instruments accept the challenge to let further, possibly inconvenient forms of reappropriation take place. Thank you.